This is Shop Talk, our weekly discussion of journalism issues. I'm Rich Egger.
I'm Lisa Koenig.
And I'm Mike Murray.
Today, let's discuss an item that Lisa found on the Newsasaur blog, and I love this headline, Why Digital Natives Don't Like Newspapers. I just like that phrase, digital natives. It sounds like a band name, doesn't it?
Yes.
apparently, they just don't like the clutter that comes with a newspaper. They don't want these things cluttering up their house or office or whatever. It's just nice to have everything on your little device, right?
Yeah, it's all about the packaging. I like this quote, I guess some respondents to a Washington Post survey of young people said, one of them said, I don't want that hulking thing in my house, when they were talking about why they don't read or subscribe to newspapers. And the column goes on to discuss the digital natives as an asset light generation. They'll rent before they own. What are some other examples?
I think a lot of people in their 20s or 30s, when they're still single especially, will rent rather than own and move around and change jobs a little bit as they try and figure out what they want to do. I don't think that's new to digital natives. I think that's been around for a while.
That's true. But they don't – I guess they travel light and they borrow or steal media. They don't want to own CDs. So it's a partly packaging the news so in a way that will appeal to them. The way other media have, like Twitter and other social networks, that they've made their own. In a way newspapers have not. Newspapers are essentially, the point is that the newspapers are basically taking the print product and just making an electronic version of the print product.
And is that good or bad for digital natives? I mean, do they like the newspaper, just they want it on a device, or do they want a different type of content also?
This suggests that they want a different kind of packaging, that the newspapers have not adapted very well to this generation.
You know, when you said that hulking thing, Lisa, I was thinking of a Sunday edition of the Chicago Tribune.
Back in the day.
Yeah. That was a hulking thing. You know, that was a ton of paper came in the house.
And I used to think, what a waste of paper this is. Do we need all this?
Well, a good portion of it was. But, of course, you know, there was also a little bit of news in there, theoretically. So I could see somebody being kind of frustrated with a monster like the old Trib used to be on Sunday and preferring a little thing that they could read on their Nook or their tablet or whatever kind of device they got. I could see that. But, you know, I can't imagine enjoying a magazine. Now, that's a different animal, of course. But, you know, we got a National Geographic subscription now, and I just can't imagine enjoying that as much on a device as I am able to do with the magazine, because it's just part of the high quality of printing, you know. But, you know, when you get a young person who maybe doesn't have that acquired taste, perhaps, and they just want it now, and it's just the headline or whatever that they want, maybe it's okay, you know, to just have the information available on some kind of device or
you know,
a cell phone.
We talked a week ago about the profession of journalism perhaps starting to become a bit elitist and not being available to low-income people. What about this idea of everything going digital? Isn't that elitist too? Because not everyone has a smartphone or this type of device or access to the Internet. Perhaps you see more people in this country, but what about other countries? Aren't newspapers still the print? The idea of a print newspaper is still pretty popular overseas as opposed to here in America, where we're talking about all this digital stuff. But like I said, it's still what is available to people who have the money to afford these devices.
That's a good point. In India, newspaper subscriptions or readership is growing. And in that country, very few people can afford a device, fewer people.
And, of course, even if you can afford the device, you still need to have that Internet access, too.
Right.
You need to be someplace where you have that digital connection.
Wi-Fi thing, yeah, at the very least. You know, it reminds me of the decision on the part of a lot of foreign shortwave broadcasters to cease broadcasting to the United States in English because, you know, transmitter bills are expensive, which they always were and always will be. But the thing about it is most folks in the United States are regarded as having internet access, and they can now pick up the audio stream or whatever it is online. There's no need to broadcast to us anymore, which is, I think, is, you know, kind of sad. But, you know, it's wonderful to listen to the BBC very clearly, for example, the World Service on the computer rather than on a shortwave radio where, you know, you're at the mercy of the forces of nature and all this kind of thing. But it's an analogy kind of like, you know, we're talking about people here in the United States are just assumed to have access, you know, to to the internet and
not
to the technology.
Everybody does.
And not everybody does still, you know, so.
One other thing I want to mention, on the surface, it seems like the idea of going digital is more environmentally friendly because you think, Mike, you mentioned that hulking Sunday Tribune that we used to get and paper that was in there.
Which was probably 85% recycled and recyclable, but, you know.
At a certain point, it became that way. But for a long time, it was new paper, and it just seemed like such a waste of paper. Mm-hmm. And it seems like going digital is much more environmentally friendly, but that's not necessarily the case either, is it, Lisa?
No, the New York Times did a series or a big Sunday story a couple months back about cloud technology and these data centers where the data is stored, and reported how terrible for the environment these big data centers are. They're usually in rural areas where and heavily guarded, but they use a lot of electricity, a lot of emissions. They run hot, and so you're just exchanging, I guess, one problem for another with the cloud. It's not as green as it's touted to be.
That's similar to the argument you hear occasionally about electric cars, for example, you know, that if we were to convert 100% to electric cars, of course, that would be a terrible burden on the electrical infrastructure.
Right.
Which exists. And, of course, as that improved to catch up with all this extra demand for electricity, and once again, it would be a similar situation to what the data centers do in terms of, you know, consuming power, electric power and so on. So instead of burning gas and creating emissions, you know, that way, we would be doing it another way. So once again, there's no easy answer to these things.
Yeah, and with the car, of course, if you're relying on electricity, a lot of electricity still around this country is generated through coal.
Coal, which is mighty clean, as we all know. No, seriously. But, very dirty technology. So.
Yeah. All right. Hey, with that, we've run out of time for today. Our listeners can join us again next week at this time for more of Shop Talk.